Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, and NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, talking some NFL playoff weekend with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Co-host Big Red Wrap-Up. Bird, how tough was it to watch for you yesterday with Cincinnati right there, tied at 20, and, then it didn't happen, and Twitter's still on fire about the officiating.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I think that was the first game that I'm always invested. I've always been invested in what Zach's done. Once he's been in the NFL, and you know, it's given me a better, you know, obviously I lived that life for a little bit, and to be honest, I haven't been a huge fan of watching NFL football in the past. I've been definitely more of a college guy, but just, you know, following him and obviously now the success he's had with the Bengals, I thoroughly enjoy and look forward to watching any and every game I can when the Bengals play. And yesterday, I honestly felt like my reactions were the same as to when I watched Nebraska play. So it's pretty cool just being that emotionally invested into a former teammate and a really good friend to their success. And I think anyone in my position I'm not the only guy. I mean, there's multiple other, there's hundreds of other teammates and friends. I'm pretty sure they're all the same. So, yeah, they hurt. This one felt like a punch in the gut because you felt like they had the momentum there, and they're just it's tied 20-20, and they got a punt, and the punter gets a hell of a kickoff, almost outkicks his coverage. Now, might have been a block in the back there on that. That's one of the missed calls that kind of I'm still scratching my head on the gunner, They made the play. They had a couple good returns there in the game that the Chiefs got some good field position. But if you look at it as a whole, and I'm kind of just taking the officiating out of side. I know it was weighted heavily one way to the other. I think it was nine penalties on the Bengals to five to the Chiefs. And not all penalties are called the same. It's obviously the timing and what kind of penalties they are, but I mean, the Bengals offensive line struggled. They struggled. Chris Jones had a day, and I know Spag, the defensive coordinator. He was pretty good at game planning this one. He's really good at getting guys one on one and finding those matchups. And I think they exploited Cincinnati a little bit there. But looking towards the first half, Cincinnati only gets 6 points to two trips in the red zone. You can't have that. You got to get points, especially when Kansas City was like 31st in red zone defense all year. So you'd like to just getting a touchdown, getting 7 points out of one of those drives. I think this game's dramatically different. I don't know about dramatically, but it's. I think Cincinnati wins this football game. But yeah, this one hurt. It's they're so close. They've been playing well for so long. The ten consecutive wins, and things were just kind of clicking on all cylinders offensively. Obviously, dealing with the injuries to the offensive line and having to find guys to plug and play and obviously playing so well last week in Buffalo, and you think they'd hopefully be able to ride the momentum. But I tell you what, it's hard, man. It's hard going on the road back-to-back weeks playing the top two seeds and trying to win. I know they did it last year, but it's just a tough situation. And you got to tip your hat, though. I mean, Mahomes is pretty darn good. Even with that ankle, so obviously would like to see the Bengals on top and going to Arizona playing another Super Bowl. But, hey, you know, they're going to be back again as long as Burrow's healthy and they got all those weapons and hopefully they can bolster the offensive line again in this offseason. They're going to be back there again, and I can't wait to cheer them on and watch them again.
Were you surprised, or is it what you expected from Zach on the sideline? He got as animated as I've seen him, but he wasn't ever over the line. He didn't lose it. Are you surprised he kept his composure like he did?
No, not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. Zach's a pretty cool and calm, level-headed guy. He's not a hothead by any means. That's the angriest you'll see him ever get when, you know, they get the stop on third down. And then you have the back judge that doesn't blow his whistle, just runs on the field and thinks play's going to stop when no one's even looking at him. You know, and so I get that frustration. And not knowing why, because no one heard a thing. Usually, even on the TV, if there's a whistle, you can hear it. You might not be able to hear it on the field, but the on-field mics are so good that you can hear the whistle. There was no whistle that was blown. So I get the frustration there. Whether, you know, rightfully so, the clock, obviously the previous play was an incomplete pass. And they had to respot the ball, but the clock started running and they respotted it. Shouldn't have, because it was an incomplete pass. So I understand it, but it's just the sloppiness of it all and not a good explanation by the head ref, head umpire, you know, when he was kind of explaining the situation, like, wait, what? So this is now, that happened on that third down play, so it's fourth down? Oh, no, that third down play never happened. And you're just like, what the hell is going on? and then you get the sack, right, on Mahomes. Well, now I think they got Eli Apple for the holding call. It was a hold. And so it's just, you know, it was a lot. I would have been the same way. I'd have been equally as frustrated. He has every right to be frustrated. That was a pivotal part of the game. And you give him another chance just because, you know, and I understand the clock situation, I do, but you're giving a really good team at home more opportunities to win this football game. And at a critical time and at a certain point of field position, those close games, field position is everything. So I'm not surprised by his level. He's pretty cool and calm. But I think he has every right to be as pissed off as he was.
Well, Jay, I think if yesterday proved anything to me, it's that we are well overdue for the NFL finally getting full-time referees, and not to stand up for the refs, but it's absurd that the most valuable professional sports league in America is the only one that doesn't have full-time referees. These guys are going to work in a day job Monday through Friday, and then they're hopping on a flight on Saturday and going and reffing the AFC Championship game on Sunday. It just doesn't feel right that an organization that's worth billions and billions of dollars is still the professional sports league in North America that is yet to have full-time referees.
Yeah, I see both sides, and the NFL is the only one that plays one game a week. Now you look at hockey and Major League Baseball and NBA, they're playing multiple games a week. So, you know, there's a lot of shuffling around of referees and crews and so on and so forth. Yeah, the thing is, too, is a lot of these, you know, these referee crews are very successful lawyers, businessmen, you name it, accountants, very detailed people. And that was a very undetailed game. It was sloppy the way they called it. It just seemed like in a game like that, it's just too, they're so heavily involved. And you'd like to see, you know, referees swallow their whistles in certain situations, whether it's at the end of basketball games. I know in baseball games, it's vastly different. Hockey, hockey's different. I'm not too up to speed on what happens in a hockey game. But, you know, late in NFL, late in big-time championship football games, too, you know, sometimes you got to let the players just make the plays. Now, you want to, whether that was a 15-yard, you know, the roughing that, you know, on Mahomes, the late hit is close. You know, I honestly think if it's not Patrick Mahomes, I don't think it probably gets called. And I know I feel terrible for the 58 from the Bengals. I mean, he was just trying to make a play. He played his tail off all game. He played really good. And he looked like he was trying to hold up and kind of tripped and stumbled, and then there might have been a little flopping out of Mahomes. Wouldn't be surprised if that was the case in that situation. But it's just, it's hard. It's hard when you're making such minute call or such fine detailed calls at such critical junctures of games. I could go either way on the rough, on the late hit call. I could see it. I can see it both ways. But in today's day and age, you know, those things are going to get called, and it just hurts more being on the Bengals side that happened. That happened to them. I know the Chiefs fans are, you know, are clearly saying, "Yep, that was a roughing. That was a late hit. That needs to get called." And I understand. I fully understand it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see going forward with, you know, some of the rule changes and how it, like the NFL likes to adapt, change rules. You know, we already saw overtime rules change after last year. You know, with San Francisco situation, hey, can we have a third quarterback suit up and not count towards, you know, the 46 guys you're able to dress on game day, you know, and for situations like that, you know, I think that needs to get changed back. I think that's the way it was in previous years, but that needs to get changed back. And so there are always going to be tweaks that come out of, and it's always come out of these big games, you know, the AFC games or the AFC NFC championship games or divisional round playoffs, some of the tweaks that come. But let me ask to see if they do hire NFL referees full time or not. Because they're only doing one game a week, and that's for, you know, you want to do preseason, so on and so forth. You know, Cleet Blakeman, you know him really well. He's just calling 17 or 18 games a week, and he's a lawyer in Omaha. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves.
Jay Moore is with us. Jay, your old buddy Sue is back in the Super Bowl. Philly, real quick thought here on Philly, Kansas City before we talk Huskers.
Yeah. I like, man, Philly's good. They are really good. It would be interesting to see if Purdy was able to stay healthy, what that looked like, you know, that game. But I tell you what, that putting 31 up on a really good, one of the best defenses in the NFL, that is, they provide so many issues just with the RPO game and Hurts' mobility and just the weapons they have with Goddard and Smith and A.J. Brown and Sanders at running back. And you got a really good offensive line with Kelsey, so it's pretty fun to watch them go about their business. And then guess what? They're a really good defense too. Let you know, with Sue and you know, you just a lot of young talent on that defense. I like them over the Chiefs. They'll be interesting. You know, Chiefs are banged up. They're just banged up wide receivers, secondary. Let's see if Mahomes can get healthy over the next couple weeks when this game's played. But early on, I like Philly in this one. They definitely have played the best and been the most dominant team all year long. I don't see that changing in a matter of 2 weeks.
Jay Moore is with us here. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency, talking some NFL, the championship weekend, Chiefs and Eagles advancing to the Super Bowl. We'll have more with Jay coming your way after the break, as we're going to talk some Huskers still, and we'll also have Charlie McBride joining us leading off hour two, and at some point this show we'll also recap Schmidt and I's steak and a beer bets that we made on Friday. Who's getting the steak and a beer from the other? We will find out a little bit later today, as I'm looking at the sheet right now and I'm a little bit nervous. Anyway, we'll have more with Jay Moore coming your way after the break. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Currency.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few more minutes. Jay Moore with us. Hail Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer at Jay Moore 44 on Twitter, co-host Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay, get a switch here and talk some Nebraska football. Got a chance to meet Coach Potroast, Terrence Knighton, today. And what is it about defensive line coaches? What's a key trait that's got to be part of it between your time with Coach Blake? We're all big fans of Coach Kaz, and Potroast comes on in with a whole world of NFL experience playing and coaching, but now he's got to translate that to the college level.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is you've had to play the position at a fairly high level. Now, your D-line or O-line, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Kaz an offensive lineman?
Yeah, he was a center at Notre Dame.
Yeah, correct. So I think you have to play either or at a high level. I love Kaz. I think he was a hell of a football coach. I loved the way he operated, just a technician, and totally got it. He was an offensive lineman. So I think you have to played either position at a very high level to understand, to equate it to Division I, you know, a Division I player. Because it's just, you can't put a DB in there and teach D-line. You can't put a running back. You can't put a tight end. You have to know what it's like to be in a three technique or in a shade over the center, and you're taking on a double team with a power or a counter. There's so many things you have to play. It's such a totally different position than anyone else. You know, no one else gets in a three-point stance. No one else is hitting someone every play. So you have to live it. You've had to live that life, and Coach Knighton has. I mean, at the highest of the levels, and has won championships doing it. So that's my main criteria for a really good defensive line or O-line coach is you've had to live it and done it at a high level to really give that value and create that value back to your players and be able to coach them up the right way.
Tell me, Jay, what kind of differences are there between being a defensive lineman in college and being a defensive lineman in the NFL? What differences are there between those two? And then what unique experiences can Terrence Knighton bring from that NFL experience and bring it to a defensive line room that, you know, the average college defensive line coach might not have?
Yeah, I think the main difference, I mean, from techniques and understanding alignment and assignment, it's not that vastly different. It's just fine-tuning your techniques. You know, guys in the NFL play with such great pad level and hands, and they have such good feet. You know, they understand. I think that what separates the two is understanding pass protections and the run games and how offensive linemen are trying to get you to do certain things. And I think once you learn that, understand those things, you can be a half a step quicker, which makes all the world of difference. And you're talking in the NFL, because you're able to beat that guard to a spot to secure your gap, or, you know, maybe he, you know, oversets you and you're able to go back door on him, get a tackle. There's just so many things, you know, what's coming as a feel, to where in college, you aren't that far advanced. You don't trust it as much. You might have a good understanding of it, but you're still trying to, you know, stick within the game plan. I think once you get to NFL, and it definitely helps when you play teams in your division twice a year, to where you're able to, you know what they're doing. You know certain calls. You know how certain linemen sit. You know, and in college, it's almost like a rotating. You're not playing the same guys every year. You know, you're always playing. Majority of the guys are vastly different. I mean, you could play in the NFL, you know, for 5, 6, 7 years and see a lot of the same type of coaches, players. So you can kind of get, you can learn, you can pick up on some things, which is pretty cool. But I would definitely say the vast difference between the two is just understanding run game protections and pass protections.
Jay Moore is with us. Jay, Nebraska getting another commit for 2023. Sua Leifutu out of California, 6'4", 285. St. John Bosco out of California, his high school, and they're going to figure out where he can thrive. Three technique, can shade him on the guard, can shade him also on the offensive tackle. What does that versatility say? He's thicker than some of the other linemen they brought in, and it sounds like he's got pretty good feet and a pretty good burst.
Yeah, I imagine they're trying to find guys for that, you know, that 3-3-5, you know, and finding the right guys who can even put, find those three. And you're probably hoping you have, you know, 9 to 12 guys that you can kind of say, okay, these guys fit. And I don't know if they have those currently, if they view that. I would think so. You know, guys like Ty Robinson and so on and so forth. I would think there's some guys that fit. I imagine they're just trying to grab guys who are going to be able to fit what Tony White wants to do and what Coach Knighton wants to do within this defense going forward in 2023. So they're just trying to grab, you know, get guys who, you know, fit is such a key word in this, in seeing them. And I know they're not, you know, they don't have stars that are, you know, jumping off the page. I think they're just trying to find the right people and players to fit what they want and how they can develop. And so I think this is the guy that says, okay, perfect. He seems like he can fit right in this three-man front that we want to play within our scheme. And if we don't have, you know, if we have to go to a four-man just because we don't like what we have currently, he's still able to play. That's that's the biggest thing is you get guys, you know, he seems like a guy, he could play a shade, you know, and I really say shade, that's like a one technique or a zero, that's over the center, or you can play a three technique or a two eye or whatever it may be, or you're playing more of a guard. So I think it's a guy who's kind of a Swiss Army knife and can kind of play both inside positions.
You know, Lafoutu's a three-star, and he played at the number one school, according to Max Preps, 13-1. They won the California playoffs, and a lot of his teammates are at Georgia, at Oregon, at different high-level spots. Your thought on the benefit of grabbing a kid from a program like that?
It's big because you get some kids that are kind of big fish, small pond, and they might struggle initially when they get to campus because all of a sudden there's big fish around them right away. Now he's had some big fish around him in that pond as well at this high school, and I think that just helps from a competitive nature. I'm sure his play has been elevated vastly already at the high school level just because of the success of that team. So that means there's probably some high-level coaching going on there that is damn near a Division I level. And then you're playing against elite high school talent already. So now that's going to equate even better because guess what? It's not a shock to the system that you're going against, you know, grown men now in college, and you might have been beaten up on, you know, 230-pound guards in high school. Now you're probably going against like 275, 280 guys that are pretty close to how a Division I guard or a center may be. So I think that will equate. I think he'll be able to develop rather quickly. I would hope so. And this is all obviously speculation, but I think that he would be able to transfer those skills, quicker than the later.
Jay Moore's with us. Jay, we'll get caught up again, talk some more Super Bowl down the road. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yep. Always a pleasure, boys.